Hi, this is Chaz Palminteri, and if you're thinking about getting your eyes done, the only person to see is Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada. I flew all the way from New York to be here, and Dr. Rothman did my eyes. And all I could say is, it's a miracle. I could see. You see Dr. Rothman of LASIK of Nevada.
Broadcasting live from the Vegas Video Network studios, just steps from the Las Vegas Strip.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Welcome to the Odds Couple on the world famous Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard, joined as always my good friend and fellow co-host Anthony Padilla.
Scotty, good to be here. Happy New Year, everybody. This is the first show back. We're excited to be here today. We're going to be talking about monumental returns in the game of life, why Leslie Frazier, the head coach of the Vikings, was by far the biggest cheesehead in last week's game against the Packers, and why a penalty is a penalty, a foul is a foul, unless it's the fourth quarter, or unless you're Kobe Bryant, or you know what, let's just get to the fun.
Let's attack the line. The Cincinnati Bungles, or is it the Bengals? They're on the road taking on the Houston Texans. Glad they made the playoffs so I could sing along. The Texans, the line opened. The total for this game opened 44.5. The early money is on the under, down to 44. Today, 43.
Yeah, you know what? We were talking about this before the show started today. And I don't know what's going on with either of these teams. Houston and Atlanta, I believe I've said since the beginning of the season, Scott, we can go back and look at the tape. Unless I'm wrong, then we don't need to worry about that. But I believe that I've said that the Houston Texans and Atlanta Falcons were the two teams with the best records that can be trusted the least. I don't know what they're doing week to week. Somehow they've pulled out the wins. But going into this game against the Bengals, first game of the playoffs, the Bengals are definitely riding a whole different kind of momentum. J.J. Watt, defensive end for the Texans, actually finished with 20.5 sacks. Very, very good season for him. They have a quality defense. Cincinnati has a pretty quality defense, so I don't see it being a high-scoring game. We're obviously talking about that, not about who's going to win. Personally, I feel like Cincinnati has a chance of coming out and winning this game, taking it to Houston at home just because they're riding a whole different momentum, like I said, you know, in a way that I feel like they want it more. People talk about this, and there's actually one coach in sports, believe it or not, Jim Leland of the Pittsburgh Pirates, formerly of the Pittsburgh Pirates, does not believe in momentum, which I find is a little absurd because that's one of the biggest things in sports and in football they will talk about is the hardest thing to maintain. But going into this game, I believe Cincinnati has the most momentum, and they're going to win this game on the road. I don't see it being 43 points, though. I would definitely say take the under on this.
In echoing Anthony's points in regards to stating in front of the whole world here that the Houston Texans and the Atlanta Falcons are a complete bust, as usual, Anthony is about half right. I believe that with the Houston Texans. In fact, we talked about it all year, but as far as the Atlanta Falcons being the top seed in the NFC, 13 wins, 3 losses, 34-4 when Matt Ryan and the Falcons are hosting at home. So we'll talk about that next week because the Falcons have a bye. But let's stay on course here with the Cincinnati Bengals being on the road taking on the Houston Texans. Now, Houston went from a number one seed, they slipped all the way to a number three seed. Huge difference between being seeded one and being seeded three. The Cincinnati Bengals have a good defense. This time of year, I love teams that are proven, a la the Denver Broncos, the New England Patriots, the Green Bay Packers, the 49ers. These teams are proven, okay? So you look at the Bengals, not sold on their coach, never have been. Defensively, they're competitive. Offensively, not really sold on what this team does. But as far as the Houston Texans, they have talent. They are at home. They've been embarrassed. I expect for them to come out. As far as attacking this line, it's been attacked on the total from 44.5 down to 43. I don't have an opinion. I do have an opinion on the other game that we would like to look at. The Washington Redskins are hosting the Seattle Seahawks. Now, Seattle on the road opened 1, been bet up to 2, today 3.
Yes, Seattle is going to win this game. First of all, you have two rookie quarterbacks playing in this game. You know what I mean? Two great quarterbacks. Like, it's not even two mediocre rookies. You've got Russell Wilson of Seattle, who about week 3 just turned it on, and RG3, who for all intents and purposes, has wowed everybody this entire season. I mean, if you were not impressed by what this guy does on the field, his toughness, his attitude, the way he handles press conferences, and of course the way he plays, you have no pulse. This guy is amazing to watch, a lot of fun. And that's, you understand how hard that is as a Cowboys fan to say this, you know. And further impressed with the guy, like, I hate the Redskins, but I really appreciated that RG3, after beating my Cowboys last week to send them home, actually said in a comment about Tony Romo, hey, you're great, know you're great, don't listen to your critics. I mean, that's a pretty class act from a guy in your division that you're going to be facing for a lot of years to come. But this is it. The guy is the real deal. You know, this is a Washington team who started out 3-6. They rolled off 7 straight to get into the playoffs. At the time that they were 3-6, Mike Shanahan said, to much dismay of the entire world, you know, well, now we're going to gear up and see what we've got, see who wants to be here next year. Everybody thought, oh, he's thrown in the towel, he's done with the season. He clarified, saying that's not what he was saying. He was just saying he wanted to see who was going to put it out there. Boom, roll off 7 straight. Here they are. Now they're at home facing the Seahawks, but this is a Seahawks team under Pete Carroll who 3 out of the last 4 games blew out their opponents, you know, scoring 40 or more, 58 against the Cardinals. And this team is primed and ready for the playoffs. You know, they played a tough game again last week against San Francisco, and I think they're going to come in to Washington. RG3 was not a factor last week against the Cowboys. You could tell that knee was really bothering him towards the end of the game. I don't think he's going to be that big of a factor this week, again, because of the knee. I think he came back too soon. I think they should have rested him a little bit. But whatever. This is where they're at, and this is why I think Seattle's going to come in, and they're going to win this game by more than 3.
Should be a very exciting game. You have number 4 Washington hosting number 5 Seattle. Before the season started, if you look at that NFC East division, a lot of people felt the Giants, the defending Super Bowl champs, would be the top team. A lot of people, a la Anthony and Jacob here from the studio, like the Cowboys. I kind of lean on the Eagles. Shows you what I know. No one saw the Washington Redskins, especially starting out 3-6. They haven't lost since. But I look at these two teams. The Washington Redskins have home field advantage. It's important because the Seattle Seahawks, as good as they are a media darling team. They're a little bit of a fraud, okay? That's why you tune in to Vegas Video Network, The Odds Couple, to get a contrarian point of view. The Seattle Seahawks, as good as they've been giant killers at home. This game is on the road, outdoors, on grass. Seattle, since September, since game 1, 17 weeks ago, they've won 3. That's it, 3 road games. They're a bit of a fraud because they beat the New England Patriots late. Tom Brady, with a intentional grounding penalty, cost them a 1-point game. We all remember the replacement ref's bonehead play at the end of the game against the Green Bay Packers. That's 2 games that the Seattle Seahawks have been given. I will give credit where credit is due, and I agree with Anthony. I promise not to make a habit of this, but I do agree with Anthony. With the 2 quarterbacks, Russell Wilson for Seattle, a stud. I like the running back, Lynch, and I love their coach, Pete Carroll. Now, this is a guy, I love this guy. The only thing I don't like, a couple of weeks ago, they were up 30 points in the 4th quarter, and they faked a punt, okay? I loved it. Play the entire 60 minutes, make no apologies. The only thing I didn't like was Pete Carroll apologized for it after the game. It's like, come on, man, own it. You faked the punt. They couldn't stop you. Own it. That's all I'm saying. The Seattle Seahawks on the road against the Washington Redskins. I'm against the move. All the money has come in on Seattle. -1, -2, -3. Give me the Redskins +3. Don't need the points, but if you're going to give them to me, I'll take them. Bet the Skins, see the cashier.
There it is, see the cashier. All right, we've got 2 rookies in this game. And like you said, 2 very good rookies. Russell Wilson, I mean, they're awesome to watch, aren't they? I mean, that's, like, it's really cool to see. You know what, I take that back. I'm a little torn on this. I like that these guys are coming in and doing so well, but at the same time, I'm a little in dismay that so many rookies are coming in and kind of dominating other teams. And I understand there's a big part of it. We'll find out next year what they're made of. Just like Cam Newton came in and did it last year. This year, he still did well, but not as well. So, you know, generally that happens. It's kind of like baseball. Early on, the pitchers tend to dominate early because the hitters haven't gotten their groove yet. And then you find out what the pitchers are made of as it gets later in the season to see how they adjust to the hitters. Same thing. Rookies having a great season, we'll see next year. But it doesn't matter. A lot of guys came in this year, and here you have 2 rookies facing each other in the playoffs. Another rookie that's in the playoffs, and I want to know what you think, Andrew Luck. this is a big story because he took over for Peyton Manning, and there's a lot of people who feel like that's just it. He was a little bit lucky.
Well, Andrew Luck, again, he's a favorite. A lot the fans love him. It's a feel-good story. A lot of people are selling it. I'm not buying it. We're talking about a quarterback. How about the Indianapolis Colts? How about their defense? That's why they are where they are. Andrew Luck, a rookie. I understand they just look at wins and losses, but we're talking about a quarterback who's only completed 54% of his passes, okay? He's a rookie, playing like a rookie. The Colts, minus 12 in turnovers. You look at stars like Matt Ryan of the Falcons, 69% completion percentage. Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers, 69%. Peyton Manning of the Broncos, and then you have Andrew Luck at 54%. He's a turnover machine. This game is not in a dome on turf. This game is on the road. Rookie quarterbacks in the playoffs have not fared well. Running quarterbacks, you talk about Russell Wilson, and you talk about RG3. The jury is still out. These teams are very good running football teams. This is a pass-happy league. I like proven winners. I like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, the drop-back, stay-in-the-pocket quarterbacks. Pass-happy league. Yes, congratulations, rookie quarterbacks that like to run the ball. History has a way of repeating itself, and history has shown that running quarterbacks don't last more than 2, 3, 4 years, as opposed to 10, 12, 13 years.
Cool. Based on that, RG3 is out after next season. But you know what? Aside from Andrew Luck playing like he's still living in a dorm, give him a little
it's
bit
of dome, by the
right,
way,
right,
just
right,
so you know.
Right. But give him a little bit of time. You know, he might, you just said you like proven quarterbacks. Well, dude, the guy's a year into the league.
I'm just tired of everyone.
At the end of
everyone
the day,
has a man
he's,
crush on this guy.
He's in the playoffs.
And, it's a team game.
How about the greater story in Indianapolis, Chuck Pagano? I mean, this is one of the greatest stories in sports ever. I think you would have to agree. I don't want to speak for you, but I would have to say ever that the head coach of the Colts gets diagnosed with leukemia just before the season. And, you know, you've got a rookie quarterback and all these heavy hearts going into it. They get to the playoffs. You know, we all heard the speech early on in the season, and bam, he comes back and coaches the final week of the season, and he leads them to a win. Is there a greater story?
I love it because we're talking about the Colts. They didn't need that game, okay? They're playing this weekend, so they could have looked – they were dialed in, locked in at the number 5 position. So for all intent and purpose, they could have just rested. Instead, an emotional win. They played their starters the entire game. Now, Houston – they're seated number 1. They had to have that game. So there, I thought, wow, we're talking about first teamers against third teamers. It's like a preseason game. The line went from Houston minus 4, bet all the way up to 7. The Colts won the game straight up. I mean, it's a great story.
It's
no
a great
doubt.
Story. It's sure to be a movie. Absolutely going to be a movie down the road.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I think it's safe to say that's going to be a movie. Look, if they made a movie that had a character based on you, that certainly is going to be
a movie. The favorite. Check it out.
See the catch here. All right, it is time to move on to one of the funnest segments of the show, Spin to Win. In this segment, we take two opposing teams. And here's one thing that you know for a fact. Today we have the Vikings headed to Green Bay to take on the Packers. The one thing that you know from this is it must be a bye week for New England because they are not on the board. But The Vikings are headed to Green Bay to the frozen tundra. They just beat the Packers last week, but the Packers are 8-point favorites in this. We're going to spin the wheel. We're each going to take a team, argue for both because the smart money, smart better, knows both sides equally. If we could go to the lovely Scott, Tara is out sick. Let's spin the wheel.
Scott has got the Packers.
The Green Bay Packers at home, frozen tundra, Lambeau Field. Wow, this is easy. The Green Bay Packers at home, proven winners. No one goes into Green Bay, or very few teams go into Green Bay and knock off the Packers. That's why they're favored by 8. I think it's a bit short. I think the Packers will win this game going away. Earlier, these two teams played at Green Bay, 23-14, final score, Packers won by 9. Everything's magnified in the playoffs, and if you are the opposing team going into Green Bay to take on the Packers, the concern you must have, this team, statistically not as good, middle of the pack, no pun intended, but the Packers are healthy. makes them dangerous. And plus, I love Aaron Rodgers, as does everyone else. But defensively, they've gotten healthy. The Packers minus the 8, that's cheap.
All right, well, let's see here. The Vikings have Christian Ponder, who has absolutely one of the hottest wives in sports, who's a sportscaster for ESPN, so they have that going for them. Adrian Peterson, coming off a fantastic season. Don't know really how he's going to run, depending on the weather, you know, so they have that going for him. Other than that, all your points are the very reason that take the Vikings plus the 8. And that's just it. With this line, who cares if the Vikings win? It doesn't matter what chance they have. It doesn't matter that they just beat Green Bay last week in Minnesota in a game they needed to win to get into the playoffs. Not only did they take a lead, a commanding lead, but they let Green Bay come back, and they still held them off to win the game at the end when it mattered, you know, with the last-second kick. Now, look, if I were the kicker last week, man, I got to tell you, I would have missed that field goal. Now, let's think about this. You're one of the best kickers in the NFL. You make the kick, you go to the playoffs, guaranteed. You miss the kick, you go to overtime. You give your defense a chance, or you get the opportunity to get the ball. So Adrian Peterson can get his 9 yards to become the all-time leading rusher single-season record. You know, you miss the kick, you miss the kick. The guy's going to be with a different team in 4 years anyway. You had a chance to be a part of history, man. Instead, you send your team to the playoffs, but you're going to lose the game. I mean, I'm right there with you. The Vikings are going to lose the game this week, but it doesn't matter. We're not talking about that here, as Scott likes to remind me. Straight up, doesn't matter. Winners and losers mean nothing. It's about the points. It's against the spread. And 8 points is a lot. And considering the Vikings just won last week, they're going to lose this game, but by less than eight. I'm sorry. So go ahead and take the Vikings plus the 8. There you go. Cash your ticket. See the cashier. Did I do that right? See the cashier cash the ticket.
Right.
All right. Yeah.
Something like that.
All right.
Sounds familiar, by the way.
Do
you
want to
talk
somebody.
About Adrian Peterson at all? I mean, it's an outstanding season. He finished 8 yards shy, 8-9 yards shy of Eric Dickerson's record from 1984.
It's amazing. I mean, it really is. The fact that when you're talking about that many yards, you know, and here's the thing. Everybody talks about, and this is what's funny to me. People like to argue whatever is convenient at the time. You know, well, it's a pass-happy league, so of course Calvin Johnson's going to get the receiving record. Okay, well, if it's a pass-happy league, then that means there's even more to be said for a guy who is coming up on the single-season rushing record. Especially, he would have done it on the one-year anniversary of tearing his ACL. I mean, what a great story. It was a great story, but man, Leslie Frazier, there were a couple plays in that game you could have ran the ball. Obviously, you didn't know at the end it was going to come up 9 yards short, but you got to plan for it somehow. And he said in the post game, we were playing to win the game, not to get him the record. I get that, but come on. You got to do something at some point to help get the guy the record.
I actually agree with Leslie Frazier, and I actually agree with Adrian Peterson, because Peterson went on record. He did not even know he was within 8 to 9 yards. They interviewed him right after the game, and the lady reporter said, wow, you were within 8-9 yards. He said, 8-9 yards of what? He had no idea.
Okay, let's
but
just
the impressive
stop
part,
that.
The impressive part, no, he didn't know. He didn't want a game update. So I buy that, okay? He was selling it. I buy it.
Disagree.
Here's the thing. In defense of Leslie Frazier and the Vikings, it's a team game, and Adrian Peterson gets it. I get it. Not everyone does. I have to say that the Vikings did what they needed to do. They had to win that game. The Packers needed that game as well. They were playing to win because they wanted to be seeded number 2. Instead, they dropped to a number 3 seed. But Adrian Peterson, 2,197 yards. I'm telling you, the impressive part, to validate your point, Anthony, we're talking about Christian Ponder, not a great quarterback. They don't have any big play receivers. The one stud receiver they have, Percy Harvin, gone for the year. So they're stacking 8, 9, 10 guys at the line of scrimmage, and this stud horse, Peterson, is still gaining 200 yards. But Frazier gave him the ball. Ponder gave Peterson the ball 34 times. What do you want from the guy?
Look, man, aside from all of that, it's BS to say that he didn't know where he was. In fact, not only did, I believe it was Pam Oliver, that let him know and said, you know, how do you feel about coming up 9 yards short? And he was like, what? Not only did he say he didn't know, another interviewer from ESPN interviewing him said that she didn't check the stat sheet. They're all liars, all of them. Look, going into this game, Eric Dickerson was interviewed. Adrian Peterson said he wanted to break the record. he knew where he was. He was being humble, and I admire and respect him for doing that and taking the high road. But don't tell me that when you're coming 10 yards short that you don't know where you were. He knew where he was. They all knew where he was. Leslie Frazier knew where he was.
So based on your logic, instead of kicking the game-winning field goal, they should have went for it on fourth and goal, so he gets the record?
I'm having a little bit of fun here, but what they could have done, they had time to run one more play. You toss him the ball one time, he's not going to fumble it. And don't tell me that's what you're worried about.
Nobody's. I am worried about it. He has four fumbles.
Look, it doesn't matter. That record is a big record, all right? And you're coming up 8 yards short. He's only the seventh rusher in NFL history to even eclipse 2,000 yards, let alone come that close to Dickerson's. So I'm just saying there's other things they could have done, but they're all liars to say, well, we didn't know where he was. That's BS. All right, look, whatever. It doesn't matter. He didn't get the record. He still came up short. We're having a great time. We are glad to be back in the new year right here with you guys. We're going to take a quick break because we've got a picture here, actually. I can't reach it, but we've got the framed picture of Scott and I. I don't know if you can zoom in or not, but this is the picture we showed you last time. Some of you new viewers, this is myself and Scott with all kinds of fun stuff on it. And so we're going to take a look at that, dissect that during the break. But you go, grab a drink, come back. We're right here on the Vegas Video Network. Odds Couple. See you in a second.
Oh, hi. I'm Kelly Clinton. That sucked. I wonder if Joan Rivers is watching. Oh, please. Oh, my God. Who cares? I don't have a different one. You know who watches this show? Wayne Newton.
You got that right, Kelly. I think you're absolutely beautiful. And talented young lady. 5, 6, 9, 12. Talk of shit.
More camera time for me. Hey, I wonder if Cher's watching. Oh, please. I have so many other things to do. Woo! Hi, I'm Kelly Clinton. I'm the host of Talk Tales, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. That was horrible.
Welcome back to The Odds Couple on Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard alongside Anthony Padilla. To reach out to us, we would love to have you become part of the show. A number of ways you can do that. Email us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. Also, we would love to have your voice on our show. Go to our site on the right-hand side, red bar, click there. In the middle of the page, green bar, hit start recording. Also, we have live chat questions. We would love to field live chat questions. Now, if you miss us live, it's okay. You can reach out to us, YouTube, Vegas Video Network, iTunes, Roku, and every Saturday, this show was rebroadcast on KSHP Radio, AM 1400, right here, Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, not to be confused with Las Vegas, New Mexico. All right, it's time for Are You Kidding Me?
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because only in New Mexico, I was back in Albuquerque last week, and you actually have to clarify. Somebody asked me, where do you live? I said, Vegas. It's the only place you have to clarify, Las Vegas, Nevada. Everybody else would get it. So, really good. I'm impressed that you actually knew that. All right. Are you kidding
me? I was just guessing.
Good guess. All right. Look, you guys, I don't know what's going on in sports. This has been going on probably since before sports started and other aspects of life. Penalties. Gray area, black and white. It doesn't matter. Pick your sport. It doesn't matter. Baseball, football, basketball, soccer, hockey, if you count those as sports. Whatever. I mean, they are. I'm just saying, officiated sports, you've got penalties and you've got a rule book. And you've got penalties that are supposed to be penalties no matter what. It doesn't say anywhere in any rule book, pass interference is this way in the first quarter and this way in the fourth. It doesn't say in an NBA game that this is a charge in the first quarter, but it's a blocking foul if it's Kobe Bryant. All right, look, a penalty is supposed to be a penalty. I am the first and foremost person that gets upset if I'm playing board games with somebody and you want to turn the little timer back over because you want to give somebody another 20 seconds. No, that's it. That's how it's played. That's how it's supposed to be fun. But I wavered a little bit in my own thinking, and I decided, you know what? This is life. It's not just sports. It's life. You can go out to a nightclub. Guys never get penny drinks. I don't go anywhere and get penny drinks. But ladies do. There's ladies' nights everywhere. You know, that's just how it works. Guys are allowed to buy the drinks. Guys are allowed to pay for the drinks for the ladies. I have never had a drink bought for me from a woman at a bar ever. You know, but that's it. You can only get so upset about it, right? There was never Boy Scout cookies. I never got to sell those, you know, but I love buying them, you know, from the little ladies. But look, life is just nothing but gray area, and that's how it works. So if you're Kobe Bryant, Everybody knows who you are, and you're going to get the call. If you're this guy, are you even on the roster? Somebody just throw you a sweater? Nobody knows, man. You're not getting, it doesn't matter what you do. You're not getting the call. But that's how life works. When I go to a nightclub and I'm having a good time, all I have to worry about is the fact that Scott Pritchard is going to be buying drinks for the ladies and I get to leave with them at the end of the night. That's life. That's how it works in life and in sports. Get over it. There's gray area. Play hard from the beginning. Know there's intangibles. Know that a call is a call. Sometimes you'll get it. Sometimes you won't. That's it. Move on. Play the game. Sometimes, right, Vikings, replacement refs, they blow the call. They don't blow the call. You move on. You go get another drink. That's it. Are you kidding me? Get out of here.
How painful it must be to be a San Diego Charger fan. We're talking about an organization that a few short years ago fired Marty Schottenheimer, their coach, after going 14-2, and they hired Norv Turner. Now, Norv Turner, the only thing worse than having Norv Turner or hiring him as your coach is actually keeping him as your coach for an extended period of time. Now, in defense of Norv Turner, we're talking about a guy who was the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys back in the 90s when they were having their Super Bowl runs. I think he's a very good offensive coordinator. It does not equate to being a very good head coach. Everywhere he's gone as a head coach, he has bombed. Had talent in Washington, they didn't do squat. They bring him into San Diego where the Chargers had just gone 14-2. He took great talent, ran it right into the ground. Now, the only thing worse than hiring Norv Turner as your coach is keeping him for an extended period of time, giving him a vote of confidence so he can throw you under the bus once they fired him. He was saying, these Chargers don't have enough talent. They will not make the playoffs next year. He was whining, crying, complaining about that they've let talent go. Maybe so. Okay, this year, yes. But last year and the year before, they were stacked with talented all-pro players. And because of Norv Turner, they could not make the playoffs this year, last year, the year before. Are you kidding me? All right. Let's get to money time. It's time that Anthony and I put money into your pocket because with no money, no honey. We're going to put you on the right side.
No honey. It's my favorite new line, man. All right, the right side. 2 weeks ago on our last show, do you remember what game I had?
You had the Rams-Vikings.
That's right. And do you
remember? I know it's not rare that you pick a winner, so you...
Really? You want to put that out there to
these
people?
Yeah, let's put it out there. Why not?
I think we should.
You've had a great year.
Yes,
year.
We've had a great... I had a better year.
You did?
And I wouldn't put that out there except that you just tried to throw me in.
Yeah, I would
bus.
Like to challenge you, but go ahead. I'm listening. We both had a good year.
We did. We both had winning seasons.
But I don't know why you're so important. Surprised by that, but I'll play along.
I'm not... No, we had a very good... We had a strong year.
Yeah, we started out slow.
I think we went 97-2, actually.
We did lose two.
Yeah, barely. Now look, all kidding aside, both Scott and I did go 2-0 our last time out. This is the first game of the new year. It is the playoffs. This week I am going with the Cincinnati Bengals and the Houston Texans. We talked about it earlier. The Texans, actually, the line was, they were favored by 4. Texans were favored by 4. That's moved. They are now favored by 4.5. There's not a lot left to be said. You know, we've already discussed it. Houston, they've been kind of fake all season. But does it really matter how fake you are if you manage to pull out a win? You know, Matt Schaub obviously has a determination, and he wants to win this game. He wants to move his team further in the playoffs and show that he's a dominant quarterback in the league, especially with all of the other great guys out there. The offense, Arian Foster, just he's an amazing back. Very capable of doing big-time things. You know, the thing is, he's been a little bit inconsistent at times. And again, J.J. Watt on defense, 20.5 sacks, led the league. Very, very solid Houston defense. Now, on the flip side, you've got Cincinnati coming in. And again, I go back to the fact that I just feel that Cincinnati's momentum is going to be the little bit of a difference in this game. As far as quarterbacks go, comparing Andy Dalton, to Matt Schaub, I don't know. I think Matt Schaub is a better quarterback. But Andy Dalton is proving to be a very worthy quarterback, you know, having stepped in for Carson Palmer. He's done a great job. That receiving core is really looking good. I got to tell you, man, Marvin Lewis learned one thing. You get rid of the thugs and the guys who go to jail, and your team has a real shot at going to the playoffs every year. This is consecutive years that they're now in the playoffs. They haven't done this in, I believe, 15 or 20 years. That's a very big thing for them as well. obviously, they're not content just getting to the playoffs. They want to win into the playoffs, you know. So you've got a very evenly matched team, very good defense, Cincinnati as well. You know, they come from that really, really tough division, you know, with Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and they're used to facing those. They're used to playing low-scoring, tough games. So as they go to Houston, you know, I see this being a low-scoring game. As I said earlier, it's not going to go over 43. But the right side for me, the Bengals at Houston, take the Bengals plus the 4.5. I just think that Cincinnati has more on their side, and they're going to win this game.
Before we get to my right side, I would like to recap, and I, unlike my friend Anthony, I do remember our plays from a couple of weeks ago. I'm not convinced Anthony remembers what he said earlier in today's show. But Anthony, he liked the Vikings plus 2.5 against the St. Louis Rams. Easy winner. They won straight up without the points, convincingly. My play, Atlanta Falcons at home against the New York Giants. Falcons favored by 1.5. It's nice to be on the receiving end of this. It was a 34-0 blowout. Easy winner. How do these sports books stay open? Yeah, right. Okay, let's get to my right side. I'm looking at the Seattle Seahawks on the road taking on the Washington Redskins. Now, we discussed earlier a little bit the fact that the Seahawks not as good as their record, in my opinion, because of the fact of the Monday night debacle with the replacement refs. In defense of the replacement refs, you know, Anthony touched on it earlier. Again, it wasn't the replacement refs. I'm watching professional football, and I'm the only one on the planet. Every week, the officiating is an absolute joke, and I'm saying, bring back the replacement refs! That Monday night game that everyone's so upset about, remember, the eye in the sky, the replay booth official had the authority to overrule that botched play but didn't have the balls to do so. He was not a replacement official, okay? So enough, get off the replacement official's backs. Handicapping-wise, the Seahawks are not as good as their record. They beat the New England Patriots by one. They won on that Monday night game against the Green Bay Packers. In their defense, what I like about Seattle, I love their coach, I love their quarterback, love their running back, good defense, but they are on the road. 3 wins all year, outdoors, on grass. Here's the thing. These two teams are in the top 3, Minnesota being the other team. They're in the top 3 in rushing the football. Now, the Redskins, pass-happy league, defensively, they've had some issues. 29th in all of football in defending the pass. My money, the right side for me, Washington Redskins plus the 3. See the cashier.
That's fun.
You know we're still on the air, right?
Yeah. I like your passion about this game. That's fun, man. For me, it's nice to see you jacked up about a game other than the Patriots. So, especially an NFC game.
I had no choice. The Patriots are at home watching because they've earned.
The Cowboys are also at home watching.
And next week,
they will be at home watching again. It's going to be a long offseason of watching. And you know what, man? Let me just get off my chest about Jerry Jones and this nonsense. Once again, the day after the last day of the regular season, Black Monday, all the coaches get fired. All the changes happen. GMs get let go. What does Jerry Jones do? On his radio show on Tuesday, says the next few months and weeks are going to be very uncomfortable because changes are coming. Well, just make the changes. Don't tell us when you're going to make the changes. 6 months from now when all the coaching prospects are gone and you're stuck with crappy coordinators again? I can't stand this owner, man. It's really hard to be a Cowboys fan right now.
I knew we couldn't get through, even though the Cowboys have been ousted, we could not get through the show without you. Thank goodness you didn't talk about Tim Tebow, who, by the way, had 39 yards, more passing yards than you did this year.
Well, I think Tim Tebow might actually be a good fit in Arizona.
You do?
I do. And I'm just bringing that up because I like the Cardinals as well. So I think that
could you went to a Cardinal game, right? As a 49er fan?
Yeah.
Is that what you
did? No. I have season tickets to the Arizona Cardinals. Went to the game this year, Monday Night Football, Arizona versus San Francisco. My tickets for this game were in the 49er section, surrounded by 49ers. I felt like I was at a 49er home game. People were throwing stuff at me in Cardinals Stadium.
Only he could get heckled at his home stadium.
Only Cardinals fans can get heckled. All right, you know what? That's it. We're done here. This is enough. I need a drink. What are you doing this weekend?
This weekend, check out my plays, VegasInsider.com. We have close to 1 million views a day. College football bowl game still going on. I'm hitting 60% winners ATS against the spread. Plays are time-stamped and documented. Check out my plays, PritchardsPicks.com. Enough about me. I want to hear about one of the best shows. It is the best show in town. I've been there Anthony Padilla, Comedy After Dark, LVH. Tell me more.
You've performed there.
I have.
Very well, when you do perform there. It's a lot of fun every weekend, Thursday through Sunday. Starting next week, we're adding Wednesdays, so it'll be Wednesday through Sunday. Please come out and join us. Mention that you saw us on the show, and we'll make sure that you get charged full price. So what's better than that? Right? But we're always there. LVH, 10 o'clock, Shimmer Cabaret. Come out. Enjoy us. Scott, it's good to be back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, young man.
All right.
We're here every Friday, live, Vegas Video Network, The Odds Couple. For my good buddy Anthony Padilla, I'm Scott Pritchard. Good luck and goodbye.